This is the Giant Sports Show on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW. Brought to you by Giant Sunflower Seeds. Giant Seeds. Go big. And now, from the KBMW studios, here's KBMW Sports Director Andrew Zimmel.
Welcome back, Andrew Zimmel, hanging out with you on a Saturday morning. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful morning, even though a little bit overcast for us. You know, normally we have a Wahpeton Husky football coach coming in to talk to us. They have a coaches meeting this morning at 9 a.m., so gentlemen, I hope the donuts and coffee are warm for you. But because we needed somebody, and because he loves us so much, we have the head girls golf coach, Jeff Ralph, hanging out with us this morning. Coach, thank you so much for joining us this Saturday morning.
Hey, thanks for having me. Okay, Gilby's at a coach's meeting.
Yes.
How is he not the coach of the year in our division?
I agree with
you.
The
job he's done with those kids. You know, we beat Jamestown. There's not one coach in the state of North Dakota thought we were going to beat Jamestown, except Wade Gilbertson, and he got those kids to believe it. And to me, that's coach of the year right there. And he should get it. He should have had it last year.
Yes, 100%.
Should have had it last year.
The turnaround that he has done with the Wahpeton football program, I think it goes across the board. People are really excited with what they got going on over there. And I will say, before the season, I said five or six wins. Everybody laughed at me, said it wouldn't happen. They're at five wins now, trying to get six in the playoffs next week. But, Coach, let's talk about your girls' golf team, because last year you had a good season. We came up, we recapped it. We said, okay, what do you think? We turned the mics off, and we looked at each other and said, what do you think about next year? And you said, well, you know, we lost, what, was it the senior athlete of the year?
Anna Kolesny, senior athlete of the year, I think finished fourth at state. Has had a great start to her college career, actually won a tournament this fall. And how do you replace that?
Exactly. And that's both what we both said. And then I don't know what you did in the offseason, Coach. I guess it's all those tee times you got set up for yourself, teaching these girls how to get that, hit the long ball. Because you had another great year, third in the EDC, seventh at state. So congratulations to the coach and the Wahpeton girls golf team.
You know, I believe this group of girls really, they've made the commitment to get better. We have girls that go regularly to golf lessons. They go and see a professional. I am not a golf professional. I can teach them how to manage the course. I can make sure we safely get there when I drive the bus. But I am not a golf professional. And these girls have made that commitment to do that. And that's why they play like they do. They work at the game. They play in the summer. All those things you have to do, and they're good athletes. I mean, Scout Woods is a pretty decent basketball player. She's okay in track, you know.
Talking about one of the players that helped the Wahpeton girls get to state last year, and then, of course, I think she placed at state in track as well. Yeah. No understatement there, yeah.
but they're making the commitment, and that's the thing. But I think this year's team – okay, we had these girls, Hallie Miller, fantastic player, all conference. But I really believe McKenna Kulmo as a senior, Lily Anderson as seniors, they really set the tone. You know, the first day at practice, I walk on the range, and we get them balls, and they start hitting. And I turn to Coach Baca, and I go, what are we doing here? I mean, they were doing their work. And it was really fun to see, because they're doing it. It's not us telling them. And for McKenna and Lily to lead that, but then they led us on the course too. You know, McKenna last year, we're thinking about, okay, can we get McKenna to shoot a 92 all the time? That would be really good. McKenna broke 90 at state both days, shot 80, 88, 89, what I can't remember now. But for her to do that, you know, that's why we shot our best round of the year at state. Was because of McKenna. Yeah, Hallie played great. Scout played great. Claire played great. But through the course of the season, as I look at the entire body of work, it was Lily Anderson and McKenna Kulmo that really were the difference. We thought Hal would be good. We thought Scout would be good. But we needed, you know, who are going to be the other girls? And every time we needed, you know, we're thinking, oh, boy, here we go. And then Lily comes in with a 91. You know, her average is about a 95 or 96. McKenna shoots a 85. Those are the kinds of things I think that for me as a coach, it's like, all right, I mean, we're solid because these two seniors are filling their role. And, you know, any season, and the football season this year with Coach Gilby and his seniors, if you have seniors that perform like they did last night, like they have all season, you have seniors like Lily and McKenna performed for me this fall, you're going to have a good team. And, you know, for us to take third in the EDC, we took fourth at the East Region Tournament, and then to finish seventh at state, you know, day one of golf, I didn't think that was possible. Once we got going, I thought it was. But day one, I didn't. And these girls, you know, I couldn't be prouder of how they performed. You know, we had Hallie Miller. She gets in the top 10 of the EDC, is all conference. She's a sophomore, hits the ball a mile, and then is learning the short game. She still doesn't quite have it, but she's...
Did any of us have the short game figured out?
You know, it seems like we have one or the other. You know, when in 20 minutes when I hit my first tee shot, if I pump it down the middle, well, I'm going to miss the green. I'm going to leave myself a downhill chip, and I'm going to probably two or three putt and make a six on number one, and then that's going to be the day. But Hal's got the game. She really does, and she's right there. So, you know, I think credit to her for doing that. Ended up about eighth or ninth, maybe 10th at the region. So she got all region honors. I was 14th at state. Just a roller coaster around her last night at state. Four double bogeys, three birdies, a par, and a bogey.
Wow.
I mean, she could have shot 30, you know, or 32 or 33. But it was just, you know, one of those things. And kind of, I think Hallie's kind of whole year, just up and down, where she shot 79, then 90 the next week. But her game was great. Scout Woods, I think you could sum up her year in her approach shot on number nine at the region, which was her 18th hole. She had to punch out, so she had to punch it down the hill. Hits a perfect shot, and I go, right, Scout, now it's the same shot going into the green. Same club, same shot. And she turned and looked at me and said, golf is stupid. You know, I'm like, Scout. But you know, she wasn't really trusting her swing. She goes to the state tournament. I thought, based on what we saw of her that day, on day one, she's probably going to shoot 120. I mean, she is all over. She's a train wreck. Shoots 90. And she just goes off the next day, shoots 83, I think.
Holy cow.
Was as solid as she's been all year. Well, that's our expectation for next year. I mean, she has the game. So we got those two coming back. We have Olivia Hansen, who just wants to be good at golf and is working at it. You know, she can only hit it 145, but she's going to be there. Claire Langenwalter is a freshman who just pounds the ball. She's figuring out her game. She came through for us on that last round, I think with a 90 or 91 in the final day of state. Then we have two other sophomores, Ella Graves and London Nordic. London actually qualified as an individual for state. They're coming back. Ella played every varsity tournament except for region and state, so she got that course experience. And then we got some JV girls who are right on the edge, kind of nipping at their heels, want to get a chance. So, you know, I feel really good about where we're at. But, you know, there's some other teams. Davies has a state champion coming back as a sophomore next
year.
Holy
cow.
Cheyenne has the East Region team. East Region champ coming back next year as a sophomore. They have last year's state champ will be a senior next year. I mean, teams are loaded. Red River has everybody back, and I believe they're the best team in the EDC. So, you know, for us to be in that 3-4-5 spot again next year, that'd be fantastic. And I think we have the girls to do it.
See, and I like the optimism, because last year there was kind of like uncertainty. You didn't really know what was going on. And then this year, I think that you mentioned this, and I want to come back to it, because you said, like, the first day, the girls kind of just knew what they were going to do. They knew, like, okay, get the balls out, start swinging. Does that say something about the culture that you guys have like kind of created over there, that you have leaders that seniors show like, okay, this is what it's supposed to be. Now next year, those seniors are going to show the JV and the underclassmen, hey, this is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, we had a girl who Coach Bacos tell me, you know, when you talk about the culture, and we don't talk about stuff. We do what we do, and that's what we do. So our girls have to ride with Red River once they get to the varsity course. They ride with Red River to the JV. I mean, that we just hop on their bus and go. And so they were going to stop and eat somewhere. Well, our girls were going to eat with us. I mean, we eat together as a team. And some of the younger girls said, well, let's go eat at the Shake Shop with Red River. And one of our junior girls, who's JV, stood up and said, no, we don't do that. We're going to eat together as a team when we get back with the varsity. And, you know, all the younger girls kind of were like, oh, okay. And that was the end of it. Mm-hmm. So I think we see that. And I think that's that leadership piece that we had from McKenna and Lily this year.
That's a lot of great stuff, Coach. I want to thank you again for coming in. But, you know, we got to talk about that three-class system. I know you could talk about it for an hour. We got you for another, like, let's go 5 minutes. 5 minutes on the three-class system, because we're both heated about this. We both like the three-class boys system. You have a little bit more skin in the game than I do, though. So let's start there.
Well, here's the thing. In the state of North Dakota, what is best for the vast majority of kids? Watford City boys basketball team last year scored 47 points a game, gave up 92. They started out their season with a 115-38 loss to Bismarck High. So there was probably 14 kids played in that basketball game. There's not one kid that got anything positive out of that experience. Okay, maybe one kid, but not very many more. We tell kids, you know, we're not playing to the scoreboard. Do your best. Persevere. You know, there's something to be said for the kid that fights through the whole season, and their personal success was they fought through it and did it, and they made it through. But How long is Watford City going to survive as a basketball activity school in North Dakota when they're getting beat by 60 points every game?
And who wants to come out for that? Who wants to sign up for that?
And the only thing you get out of it, eventually, all you get out of it is humiliation. And kids, that's not right for kids. You know, I think people would listen to me talk about it and say, well, it's just going to be good for you because you're going to win all your games. Well, look at our league that we're going to be in next year, if it happens. We're not going to win every game. I mean, we're talking about perennial good teams that could compete in our league right now. I look at four wins. They're in the state Class B tournament every year. I would love to play them every year, even if we stay in the upper division. I'd love to play them. They go on to team camp and they come to Fargo to the Metro team camp. They don't play Fairmount at that Metro team camp. They play Fargo Davies, and they've gotten better, and they want to do that. Coach Jordan Wilhelm told me they come to their team camp at Bismarck High and win out at Bismarck High, four wins. You know, I just feel like it's a better division for us. The landscape has changed, but when it comes down to the simplest form, what is best for the vast majority of kids in North Dakota? It doesn't do Kindred any good to go down to Foreman and play Sargent County and beat them 87-42. It doesn't do them any good either. There has to be some middle ground somewhere, and this plan does it. This plan wasn't made. There have been plans in the past that were made by a school to get them where they wanted to be. You look at the plan, there's 12 or 14 people on that, Class A and Class B, that came up with this proposal. And it deserves the support of every administrator in the state. I think it's going to be right down to the wire. Is it going to pass or be supported enough to go to the activities board? I think it's going to come right down. Do I feel really confident right now that it will pass? I don't. But I feel like if if school administrators, athletic directors are going to influence their school, look at what's best for kids. Look at what's best for kids in North Dakota. And if you do that, there's no way you could not support it. It's not about us. It's not. Someone told me, well, it's going to hurt the tournament revenue. Are you kidding me?
It's an extra
tournament.
Are we
having activities for money?
Yeah.
Okay, that's very naive to say because we make money. But is that why we're not going to support a new plan? Because the Class A tournament, the combined boys and girls tournament, isn't going to pay the bills at Fargo Davies? Is that why we're not going to do it? That's the wrong reason. You know, I would believe as an educator that we would be for the plan very simply from the fact that it's what's best for kids. And that's what I believe. You know, is it going to benefit us? I think it is. I think we'll be record-wise more successful, which, you know, if I cared about that, I'd have quit a long time ago. I did my record because I wanted to find out. We're 155 and 199, 197. We're 40 games under 500. Our kids compete, and that's all I ask. So I've coached too long to be worried about, am I going to have a good record?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about our kids. I'm worried about our kids having a great experience. And I'm worried about Watford City's kids. I'm worried about Valley hasn't been to the state tournament since 2000. It's not about going to the state tournament. But it's not about going 4-19 every year either. Mm. I mean, let's give the kids a level playing field. Let them have success. And, you know, it's not about, you know, people say, well, we're just a trophy-given society. No, we're not. Kids are going to earn those medals they get or that trophy they get by winning that division. And that's what it's about. It's about competing. And you know what? Next year, if we're still in the EDC, we're going to suit them up. We're going to play our butts off, and we'll see what happens. But I think this is about what's best for kids.
Thank you so much for coming in, Coach Jeff Ralph of the girls' golf team and the boys' basketball team. We'll have you in for a boys' basketball preview here in a couple weeks, and we'll talk about the three-class system some more. Ladies and gentlemen, write your superintendent, write your athletic director, write your congressman. After the break, we have Chad Fredrickson coming in talking to us about Cowboys football. Thanks again, Coach.
Yep, thank you.
More of the Giant Sports Show coming up after the break.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
Welcome back to the Giant Sports Show on KBMW. Andrew Zimmel hanging out with you on a Saturday morning. In studio with us right now is head coach of the Breckenridge Cowboys, Chad Fredrickson. Coach, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Andrew. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. Now, I want to start with a Wednesday game is weird because it's like a short week.
Right.
And, you know, you don't get those play. You don't get that practice time. You don't get that film time. And we'll get into all the different, you know, all the different combinations of how the game went down on Wednesday, but I wanted to start there with a Wednesday game as a head coach. Does that put you at a disadvantage?
Yes and no. You know, come game eight in your season, you're pretty well scripted to what you do offensively, defensively, and a lot of times it doesn't necessarily change. But when you have a team like Pelican that spreads the ball out and does a lot of unique things, it probably doesn't necessarily give you a whole lot of time to prep. But again, you got to just step up, play football this time of the year. Same kind of thing is going to happen with us starting Tuesday and moving on to Saturday. So, you know, quick turnarounds, it's just a matter of doing what you do and doing as well as you can, and you win, you advance.
Well, that's a good way to start. The silver lining of this entire thing is that the loss is a loss, but you do get to play on Tuesday. So let's talk about the Wednesday loss to the Vikings.
Yeah, well, we knew coming in that they had a very explosive offense. We knew their quarterback was pretty dynamic. You know, we were hoping for stormy weather, and it didn't happen, but because that would have slowed them down a little bit. But unfortunately, that didn't happen, and we struggled all night to try to you know, keep them in check, and we couldn't. We just you know, they kind of had our number, and it's one of those nights that it just seemed like things went right for them. A lot of things went wrong for us, and like you said, fortunately, that that wasn't our game nine, that was our game eight, and we get a chance to come and regroup and play on Tuesday and maybe accomplish something that we set forward, you know, with the hopes that we would play, you know, keep on playing and have a great run here at the end of the year. So my hat's off to Pelican, and they played extremely well. You know, despite the loss, we had some great performances. You know, we have Gavin Peterson continues to be our workhorse. He had 15 carries for 147 yards and a TD. Paul Armitage continues to get better week in, week out. He's running the ball well for us, 14 carries for 87 yards. Bailey Evans had four carries for 61 yards, big yards when we kind of needed them, when we were kind of trying to answer some of their offensive output. He had a couple touchdowns. Alex Sanchez and Alex Martel both had five carries for 26 yards apiece. So we had some, you know, guys play extremely well on the offensive side. Defensively, you know, we've got to figure some things out. We got to play a little bit more physical brand of football and you know, hit things in the mouth. We missed a lot of tackles. That's kind of been our MO, unfortunately, for a number of weeks here. We just got to figure it out. It's a matter, you know, get your eyes up, look things in, you know, run your feet. Don't stand flat footed, wait for things. So there, you know, it just the whole thing stacks up. But, you know, we've been in position to make plays. We just got to finish things off. And that's what playoff football, the expectation is you make the plays, you advance. You don't make the plays, you're going home.
Well, you said you want to play a more physical brand of football, but, Coach, I think that's the MO of the Breckenridge Cowboys is physical, run-heavy, good defense.
Offensively, we've been doing that. Our guys up front, our O-line, have been playing really well. Landon Blaufuss, Dallin Ernst, Corey Dolman, Joey Kanzemius, Eli Butts, Zane Mickelson have done a great job, and they have played extremely physical, getting off and moving the piles. We just, you know, I think defensively, you know, we've had a lot of different nicks and you know, problems with keeping a steady group together. You know, a lot of guys playing with a lot of pains, and which every team is this time of year. And if you're you know, lucky enough to be healthy throughout your whole season, those are the teams that really kind of seem to have the best luck going forward in advance. But you know, no excuses. We just got to find some guys. Got to step up, and we got to do. You know, kind of eliminate, you know, some big play opportunities that we've been giving up. And if we can do that, we still got a great team. And I'm really, you know, looking forward to what we can do on Tuesday. And hopefully we can do something beyond that.
Got to pay the exterminator, get rid of the injury bug, Coach.
Yeah. And it topples over, especially when, you know, you're a 1A school and there's just not a whole lot of people walking your hallways that you can use. But my hat's off to some of our younger guys have stepped up and filled those roles, and they continue to grow and get better. Just like Paul Armitage has gotten to be, you know, we're talking big with him is that he took dang near every snap offensively, defensively. So we want to try to get him some time off the field. So we're going to try a little bit of, you know, something different defensively to get some more youth and put potentially in there and take care of Paul a little bit better so he's not having to play every snap. So
how do you feel on a Thursday playing every snap like that?
Yeah, I'm sure that pretty sore. We gave him Thursday off, but we brought him back yesterday to lift and have practice, and they were moving around pretty slow. So, you know, Tuesday's approaching, and you know, if you're fortunate enough to advance, you got to put that soreness behind you and let's go. So it's all good.
Well, let's talk about Tuesday. Let's talk about your opponent coming up, because you mentioned the name of it, and it's a name that I had a trouble pronouncing. A lot of these Minnesota towns, I have what we call dyslexia. We'll call that. So let's talk about Monaga. Golly.
Yeah.
All right, there it is. Monaga.
Yeah,
right.
And Monaga used to be combined with Sabika.
Oh.
So they're kind of conjoining. Yeah, so you should be easy. That should be easily, you know. Anyway, we won't go there. But they were called United North Central. So much
easier, that's,
you know.
That's
so
much easier.
Now that they separated. But Monaga's tough. Monaga, they were a couple games back, a couple weeks ago, they beat the number one seed, New York Mills, for their only loss of the year. So this is going to be a tough matchup. We ended up getting the five, so we're traveling to Monaga. Strange, you know, we were talking a little bit off the air on how the QRF works, and they've got a whole bunch of different kind of subcategories, if you want to call it, of tiebreakers that inevitably pushed us all the way down to five. So it is what it is, and we just got to be ready to play, and we've played pretty well on the road. You know, we've had some big road wins, and maybe that's something that's part of this destiny, and that we're going to travel, and we're going to be in our white jerseys, and we're ready to go. So get off the bus, play football, come home.
And you'll have to be on the road the entire playoff run, because I'm looking at it as not only Tuesday, because you got to look ahead, or Saturday, then section championships after that?
Yes, it is. Yeah, the following Friday.
So. We'll knock on some wood there for
you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, we're going to be matched up with some stellar teams to try to advance, but again, we just got to play our type of football, play the best we possibly can, and let things kind of roll as they do.
All right. Well, we'll have that game for you on B92.7 as well. Little playoff football in Minnesota. Coach, got anything else for me?
No. I should just kind of mention quickly, we were thinking that we probably would fit into one of the top four seeds or whatever, and unfortunately our seniors played their last game on a Cowboy Field. So I just wanted to mention the guys: Gavin Peterson, Landon Blaffus, Dallin Ernst, Alex Sanchez, Alex Schockert, Alex Martell, Corey Doman, Zane Mickelson, Joey Konzemius, Austin Drulo, Gibson Hasbargen, Gustin Berquist Erickson, Cam Nito, Dylan Bernardes, and Jake Hare. Just a great group of guys, hopefully we can extend the season for those seniors and keep it going. But great group of guys, and I just want to mention all their names to just say how much I've appreciated them, and hopefully we can get that group massed. Some of them, obviously have been banged up and unfortunately are done for the year, but the group as a whole have supported each other, Let's do this for these guys, and hopefully we can make something happen.
Very good stuff, Coach. And as the athletic director, you have a playoff game for volleyball. We're talking to Coach Margaret Wilson after you, so this will be fun.
Yeah, and then hopefully they say that, they legitimately said 10 a.m. that they were going to come out with the QRF rankings. I was checking this morning, and every single section around us has been finalized, but ours is still sitting there. I tried to check right before I came on so I could potentially make mention of it, and it hadn't happened. So maybe, Margaret will come in here with information saying that what seed we got. Right now we're sitting at the 2, but with the QRF,
you
never know, and I don't trust it, and I just hope that we will host on Wednesday. Our girls should be playing on Wednesday, and if they're fortunate enough to win there, we'd host again on Friday, and then obviously their playoff goes different places or whatever. For a Fergus has kind of been that site that we've traditionally, or not traditionally, but for the last year or so, have went to play with, so nobody has that home court advantage and things. So they've played extremely well. The girls have. I like their chances, and I'm really looking forward to them having another run and maybe another taste at that state tournament time. So
hey, me too, Coach. Me too.
It's pretty fun. Pretty fun stuff. Margaret does a great job. Her staff does a great job. Their girls are fantastic. So we're all rooting for them.
We'll have her on the phone line after you. Thanks so much for coming in, Coach.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much, Andrew.
You're listening to the Giant Sports Show on the Voice of the Valley, KBMW.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
Good morning, Andrew Zimmel, hanging out with you on a Saturday morning. And on the phone line right now, head coach of the Breckenridge Cowgirls volleyball team is Margaret Wilson. How's it going, Coach?
Good. Good morning.
Good morning. Hope things are going good for you guys as playoffs. Playoffs are coming up this week for you. So let's talk about last weekend, or like I should say on Thursday, you guys finished your season in the Fergus Falls tournament.
Yes. Always a great tournament to finish our season with. There is a single A through triple A schools there, so we had a good mix of competition on Thursday.
Good stuff. And how did everybody perform according to you, Coach?
So we had Fergus and Winnemac in our pool, and we played very well in our pool play. We beat both of them 2-0, so we were seeded into the gold bracket. We faced Detroit Lakes first round of the gold bracket tournament and battled through the first set, lost 23-25. I thought we served really, really well in that first set. But we all have some strong outsides, and they were on. So struggled a little bit defensively with that. And then they took care of us the second set as well. So put us in a third place set up with Hillcrest, which is interesting that we met up with them. But we knew there was an opportunity to play Hillcrest, so it was kind of it's just funny how it all worked out. So we knew we needed to beat them in order to secure a second place seed, and they took us to three, but we got her done.
Which is excellent. Now, do you feel you have momentum going into playoffs this week, Coach?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm hoping we get a first round bye Monday's game, and we'll host on Wednesday, I'm pretty sure. They still haven't finalized it all yet, so we haven't got that final email. But feeling pretty good about how things are rolling. We are really practicing well lately and had a good tournament. So, yeah, everybody's back and healthy, so I feel pretty good about where we're at.
That is good to hear. Now, how important is it to host the home playoff game?
Oh, big time. I mean, it's so important. You have to create that atmosphere at home there's nothing like it, you know? And at the beginning of the season, we knew we wanted to be in the top four, so we wouldn't have to play the play-in game to get even into the playoff bracket. So finishing in the top four secured at least one home match, if not two. So we love our energy at our home court. We just get a lot of fans out there, and we just have an edge up. So that's a big deal to have a home playoff game to start off.
Now, we just got done talking to head coach Chad Frederson, and he said he didn't know what the QRF code or QRF ranking was for the Cowgirls yet. Do you have that for us?
Yeah, I think we're like 102.3, and crazy enough, Hillcrest is right behind us with 102.2.
Wow. So are you going to be the one?
Yeah. No, Henning's the one. They secured the one by beating both of us, Hillcrest and us.
Got you. So you've pretty much locked in at the two.
Yes, I'm 99.9% sure we're the two seed. If they switch anything, it would really surprise me, just because we beat Hillcrest on Thursday. So I assume we'll keep that final seeding rank. But it's supposed to come out today. So
Got you. Okay.
Not sure.
Well, yeah. Coach, I know that you're a very busy person, and we will keep our listeners updated on how the volleyball team does. And I can't wait to talk to you next week, hopefully after a playoff win.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're listening to the Voice of the Valley, KBMW. More of the Giants Sports Show coming up.
And now, back to the Giants Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
Good morning. Breaking news for North Dakota High School football. This is what you guys have been waiting for all morning long. We have the official bracket for 11A. Here it is for you. The number one seed. No, let me do this for you first. So going into last night's games, we had the QRF from Monday. So that was previous Monday. We will get into what the official bracket is. But the top eight teams were in this order. Valley City, Grand Forks Red River, Fargo South, Jamestown, Fargo North, Wahpeton, Dickinson, and Grand Forks Central. Now, Valley City lost yesterday to Fargo South 7-3. Grand Forks Red River, they had a 46-0 win. South, of course, beat Valley City, so they were going to, we knew, potentially move up. Jamestown beat North 49-21. And, of course, Wahpeton had their big win against Turtle Mountain. Here's the official bracket for you. The number one seed in the East, drumroll please, playing the number eight will be Dickinson. Fargo South and Dickinson will be facing off. That game will be at Fargo South, the one versus the eight. The four versus the five, the team that was number one all year long, they, the Valley City Highliners, will be the four seed hosting Fargo North. So the four and five, Valley City, Fargo North. The two seed hosting Grand Forks Central will be Jamestown. Jamestown, the two seed, hosting at the University of Jamestown, hosting Grand Forks Central. And then Grand Forks Red River will be the three. Wahpeton will be traveling up to play Red River. The Rough Riders earlier this season came to Wahpeton and won 44-20 on the Huskies' home field. So the rematch of that second game of the season, that will be happening next Friday at Cushman Field. We, of course, will be up there for the call with you, which is going to be exciting. Talking to our producer and statistician, Big Mike, and we both agreed that we thought that this was going to shake out a lot differently. I was saying that with the win that I thought Jamestown was going to move up. I thought Fargo North was going to move down. In fact, Jamestown jumped two spots after their win against Fargo North. And again, we are working with the QRF code this year, the QRF secret formula that we all kind of try to figure out how does this whole thing work. And again, granted, somebody's there pushing pencils with tape on their glasses saying, well, it's very easy, guys. Simple. It's this, this, and this. Well, we don't know how it works. And this is the first year that we're having to deal with it. I usually like to just go off the standings and go, okay, you beat you. Okay, that will work out. Anyway, QRF is probably the Huskies, after a win, thought that they might move up. They were the sixth going in to the game last night against Turtle Mountain. They do not move at all. Now, granted, Turtle Mountain was 1-7 before this game, now 1-8. So it is that is the official standings for 11A. 1 seed Fargo South, 2 seed Jamestown, 3 seed Grand Forks Red River, 4 seed Valley City, 5 seed Fargo North, 6 seed Wahpeton, 7 seed Grand Forks Central, 8 seed Dickinson. So Wahpeton will be going to Cushman Field to take on the Rough Riders next Friday. And for those of you in the area wondering about 11AA, we'll try to pull that one up for you here in a second. Here it is. So 11AA, West Fargo Cheyenne is the 1 seed. They will be hosting Bismarck Century. The 2 seed is Mandan High. They will be hosting number 7, West Fargo High. The 3 seed will be Fargo Shanley. They will be hosting Minot. The 4 seed, Bismarck Legacy, they will be hosting Fargo Davies. Okay, so there is your bracket right now. So again, Wahpeton, the 6 playing the 3. They will play the winner of Jamestown and Grand Forks Central on their side of the bracket. So that is where we are at right now. Thank you guys so much for listening on this giant sports show this beautiful Saturday morning. That is going to do it for us. Don't forget that NDSCS football will be right here tomorrow, 2:30 p.m. kickoff against Vermilion, the Wildcats playing their first playoff game at home. Don't want to miss out on that right here on KBMW at 2:30 tomorrow. NDSU, they're off. The Vikings are off. So we call this in the industry an apple picking weekend. This is where you can take your wife or your significant other out to pick some apples because there is no sports for you sports fans this weekend. And, you know, for Husky fans, for Cowboy fans, they might need just a breather. Just take a... because it is playoff time in the Twin Towns. We'll have all that action for you next week. Go to kbmwnews.com for schedules and the spots where all these games will be played. And, of course, you can be keeping track of our YouTube channel, KBMW News Live, where we will be live streaming as many of these games as possible. Now, there is a rule in the Fargo schools. A lot of them signed a contract during COVID where you cannot stream. There is an official video partner with some of those schools. So we'll see if Grand Forks Red River has that as well. If they don't, we will have that game for you on YouTube. But if not, it will be right here on KBMW. For Andrew Zimmel and for all of our coaches, Coach Jeff Ralph, Chad Fredrickson, and Margaret Wilson, thank you guys so much for joining us on this Saturday. More great country music coming your way right here on The Voice of the Valley, KBMW.